If you're a political junkie, you probably watched the Republican and the Democratic Party's national conventions last year. And if you did, you might remember the keynote speaker at the Democrats' confab. San Antonio, Texas Mayor Julian Castro wowed the audience in the hall and on TV. Many pundits speculated then and continue to speculate that Julian Castro and perhaps his twin brother Joaquin will be in the vanguard who lead Texas Democrats back into statewide power. At the very least, Julian Castro, it's so wonderful to have you in Seattle.
Great to be here.
I got to talk about Texas politics because it seems from everything that I've been reading, it's going to be a daunting challenge to put a Texan back in the governor's chair.
There's no question that if you just look on paper at the index of that state, that it's over 50% Republican right now. However, there's a reason that there's a lot of buzz around the idea of Texas going blue. I believe that within the next 6 to 8 years, it will. For a couple of quick reasons. First, the demographic changes, particularly the growth in the Hispanic community that everybody hears about. Secondly, because Texas has done relatively well economically these last few years, we've had a boom of people moving in from other states that are more moderate. And you see that because the big cities now and some of the suburbs are becoming Democratic. And third, the Republican Party there has developed quite a bit of hubris because they have won all 29 statewide offices every time since the mid-1990s. So they're going so far off to the right, Ted Cruz is a good example of this, that they're leaving the playing field open, so to speak, and they're losing the middle and one by one losing, I think, significant business folks in the state. All of that means that with a great candidate, I think that we're within striking distance in a couple of years, and Wendy Davis is a great candidate.
Wendy Davis announced her candidacy last month for governor of Texas, and that's a person who probably most Americans had never heard of until she put on her sneakers, stood up in the state house, and led at least a temporarily successful filibuster against a very strict anti-abortion bill. Later, I know that bill passed.
It did. And you know, she served on the Fort Worth City Council. She served in the state Senate for the last few years, and she won in a district that actually leans Republican. So she's shown this ability, actually. She got a lot of attention for this filibuster on the choice issue, but she's done a lot of work across party lines. And I'm confident that that she's the strongest candidate we've had down there since Ann Richards ran in 1990.
And certainly a figure to be reckoned with, Ann Richards.
For sure.
We're talking with Julian Castro, who's the mayor of San Antonio, Texas, as I understand it, the seventh largest American city. Is that correct?
It is. The city proper is 1.3 million people. It's one of the fastest growing big cities in the United States.
You grew up there. You're a child of a single mom. I know she was politically active before you introduced her to America on television, but you, and I believe your brother as well, hadn't initially thought that politics was your path, right?
That's right. You know, I grew up with a mother that ran for city council when she was 23 years old, but very few women, and back then very few Hispanics could get elected citywide. But she always dragged us to these rallies, these speeches, these organizational meetings. And, you know, what kid when they're 11, 12 years old likes that? So I really had no desire to go into politics. It was when I got away from San Antonio and went to the Bay Area, went to college at Stanford, that I got an interest in combining the best of those two communities. You know, in the Bay Area, very well educated, innovative, higher income. In San Antonio, a big city, but with a very strong sense of community, a place that still feels like a great home. And my interest in public service was, how could you create, how could you build a community that was the best of those things?
It's interesting talking about internal Texas politics and the demographics of Texas thousands of miles from your home, because I think Americans, most recently, our image of Texas is Senator Ted Cruz, Rick Perry, the governor of your state, a very not just Republican, but a very conservative image of a state that kind of has girded its loins against things like immigration reform, against the Affordable Care Act, which a lot of people call Obamacare, a lot of issues that President Obama has stood for. When you look at where you're from, is that really who Texans are?
I believe that you have both conservative elements, just like in any state that's diverse, and also more progressive ones. Last November, for instance, in San Antonio, we passed an effort called Pre-K for SA, which was a 1/8-cent sales tax increase. Many folks didn't think that you could get a tax increase passed in Texas, but we did. And for 150 years, Texas was a solidly Democratic state. For the last 20 years, it's been solidly Republican. So you have both in that state. And the growing community and the young community is definitely a Democratic community.
Now that the federal government shutdown is over, at least until January, when we don't know what will happen again, do you believe that immigration reform will come off the back burner, back onto the front burner? Is it that pressing an issue, do you think, at least for your voters?
I sure hope so. Of course, particularly in the Hispanic and the Asian American communities, that's been an issue that folks have followed with particular interest. My hope is that before the end of the calendar year, or perhaps right after that, as some of the filing deadlines pass in these states where people, especially conservative members, know whether or not they're going to get a primary challenge. For instance, in Texas, the filing deadline is December 9th. If those folks know they're not going to get challenged, those folks that could be on the bubble about immigration reform, they may have more of a green light to go forward and vote for it. So that, or the Speaker Boehner could do what he did during this government shutdown, which is just to drop this ridiculous Hastert rule, where you'll only bring something to the floor if a majority of the governing caucus supports it. If they brought comprehensive immigration reform to the floor of the House the way that it's been presented in the Gang of Eight Senate legislation, I'm confident that at least 18 Republicans would support it and that it could get passed.
You know, it's interesting as you're talking about whether people face challenges or not, I have to think about the districting, the redistricting that took place and provided so many of our congressional representatives with seats that look just like them. They can look in the mirror and there isn't a lot of diversity, which means that those are very safe seats and that there's no impetus for them to try to compromise. At least that's how it looks from the outside. You have a twin brother who's a congressman. Maybe he knows a little bit better how the dynamics really work.
Yeah. My brother is in his first term there representing the 20th Congressional District, and he feels frustrated like I'm sure a lot of the representatives up there, because it's hard to get things done. And the number one culprit, and I believe what we do have to change at a state-by-state level, is this issue of how redistricting is done. California went to a commission system last time and combined that with an open primary, and that creates sort of a centrifugal political force to the middle. That may be one promising model that other states can look at to get rid of this dynamic where the far right only has to appeal to the far right. And in fewer cases, because you know, I think these days, at least you don't see it as much, the far left only has to appeal to the far left.
The other issue that I've read about in Texas, and this is true across America, is that there are new voters, new citizens, maybe they're Hispanic, maybe they're Asian, maybe they're African. They come to this country. And we've heard a lot about reluctance to vote or blocks that have been put up by various groups to keep them from voting or to challenge their votes. And I understand in Texas there's a group called Battleground Texas or Texas Battleground. I'm not sure which.
Battleground group, Texas, yeah.
That is really doing some organizing to try to get at least Hispanic voters to the polls next year.
Yeah, Battleground Texas is an effort that's led by the national field director of the Obama campaign in 2012. And their goal is to register 250,000 new voters, principally Hispanics, by the November 2014 election, and 1 million new voters in Texas by 2016. If they can accomplish that, that's going to go a long way toward moderating the politics of Texas, because you're right, participation level of Hispanics and Asian Americans is much lower than it ought to be. And it's good, really, ultimately, whether folks end up voting for a Republican or a Democrat, that they participate in the democracy.
You're in your second term, I believe, as mayor of San Antonio.
Third term.
Third term.
Yeah, I have to
Are
run every 2 years.
2 years. Wow. Where do you see yourself 4 years from now?
Well, I'm going to have one more reelection in 2015, and then I'll be termed out, because the most I can serve is 8 years in the middle of 2017. And I've been very forthright with people down there that I'll look around at that time and see what's possible in terms of statewide politics. It's hard to tell right now.
So if Wendy Davis doesn't win the governorship.
Well, I'm not even thinking about that right now. I'm hoping that she does win and that she will be a trailblazer that will create other opportunities for folks. But sure, I'll look at what's available at that time.
Julian Castro, mayor of San Antonio, Texas, will be speaking tonight at 7:30 at Seattle's Town Hall. It's part of Sightline's 20th Anniversary Speakers Series. Glad to have you in Seattle.
Great to be here.
It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.